Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the August 4th, 2022 Hearings Officer of the TRPA. Today is a hybrid meeting. My name is Andrew Strain, and I will be serving as the Hearings Officer today.
Do we need to close those doors?
Sure.
The other meeting is...
Thank you. I'll now call the meeting to order. Item two on today's agenda is the approval of the agenda. I'm going to ask the staff if they have any changes that they'd like to make to the agenda.
I do have one change, Andrew. In regard to item C, the new cellular monopine at Tall Creek. In response to public comment, we did receive four written comments. Three were in support. One was expressing concerns about a couple issues associated with the tower, things like visibility, compatibility, impacts to property, values. And so after discussion with the member of the public who submitted the letter and the consultants, we decided to recommend continuance of this item to the August. Let's see, that would be the August 18th meeting at 2 o'clock. So we can have some extra time to work with the property owners who submitted the comment letter. We're planning to fly a balloon out there to simulate the height of the tower so we can take a look at it and just see if we can't, get the property owners perhaps more comfortable or at least try and address their comments in more depth. So that's the purpose of the recommendation for the continuance.
Okay. And with continuations, there will not be additional noticing that's sent to the surrounding property owners. Is that correct?
That's correct. Because we're picking a specific date and time, this meeting is essentially notice of that continuance.
Any other changes? Yep. All right. Seeing none, I will... amend today's agenda as it's been shown here and listed, and we will continue item 5C, the cellular monopine for Tunnel Creek Properties in Incline Village in Washoe County, to the next meeting, which is scheduled for Thursday, August the 18th, beginning at 2 p.m. Thank you, Paul. And with that, we will approve the remaining items on today's agenda and move forward. Item three on today's agenda are the public interest comments. Any member of the public who wishes to address the hearings officer on any agenda item not listed as an announcement of appeal rights or as a public hearing item or on any other issue may do so at this time. However, please, public comment on the announcement of appeal rights or public hearing items will be taken up at the time that those agenda items are heard. Please note that the hearings officer is prohibited by law from taking immediate action on or discussing issues raised by the public that are not listed on the agenda. At this point, I will turn it over to Georgina, who will look for a show of hands for anyone who wishes to address the hearings officer on a non-appeal right or a non-public hearing item. Georgina?
Members of the public who would like to address the hearings officer may do so at this time by utilizing the hand-raising feature in the Zoom app. The hand icon is located on the bottom of your Zoom screen or by dialing *9 if you're on your phone. If you'd like to comment, please raise your hand now and I will announce and unmute you, and you'll have 3 minutes to make your comments. For a show of hands. And it looks like we do not have any hands raised.
Thank you, Georgina. Seeing as we have no public comment, as noted, we'll move on to item four, which is the announcement of appeal rights. I'll let everyone listening today and who's here in person know that any decision of the hearings officer is appealable to the TRPA Governing Board within 21 days of the hearings officer's decision. The application fee and the appeal application can be found on the TRPA's website. We'll move on to item five, our public hearing items. We have two today. Item 5A is the Oak Angle LLC Land Capability Challenge, located at 1054 Tahoe Boulevard in Washoe County, Nevada. The assessor's parcel number is APN 130-152-08, and the TRPA file number is LCAP 2022-0440. Julie Roll is our staff planner for this item. Julie, can you please introduce the item?
Sure. This is Julie Roll. As Andrew stated, this is a land capability challenge, and the staff recommendation is to change the land capability from Class 1C to Class 6 and Class 4. Marshall Munnicki is on the line with us today, and she's a soils consultant that reviewed this project on behalf of TRPA, so she can give a little more in-depth overview of the project. And just to let you know, there's been no changes to the staff report and no public comment received thus far.
All right. Let's ask Marshall to please give us background and field work, investigation, observations, and results, and your recommendation. Marshall, please.
Hi, yeah, this is Marshall Munnicki. So this site is up on Incline Village along Highway 28. And it's kind of in the transition zone between the mountain slope and the alluvial soils below. It's been really, it was disturbed prior to 1968, I believe. I saw it on the Google images that it was already excavated. And it's so in the soil survey in 1974, they mapped it as pits and a PX map unit, which is a pits and dumps map unit. And it's actually mapped that way as well in the 2007 soil survey. I think it was like a sand quarry or something. It was excavated out about 10 to 12 feet and then maybe later refilled and leveled and it became a lumber yard. So there's like some kind of steeper slopes along the back into the north side of the parcel. And then the rest is like nearly level, mostly asphalt. And we dug two pits out there. Actually, we had three pits out there. We did one soil hydro pit that excavated down to 25 feet, and it was just alluvial, layers of alluvial sandy and sand. There was some clayey soils in there as well. But we didn't find any sign of a water table till about 25 feet. Then we had some clayed soil colors. Then we did two more pits for this challenge, and they were also very deep alluvial soils. We did one on the back slope, kind of in the cut bank a little bit, trying to get close as we could to the natural historic soil. And then we did one in the middle of the parking lot, and they were both greater than 6 feet deep with layers of alluvial sediment. So based on a challenge, this would be class 4 and 6 based on slopes. So we tried to represent the historic slope based on the slopes above and to the north of the site using the topo and various other applications like on-site measurements and the reconstructing the contours the best we could with the existing site map and some other. David Herzog sent in a map from the county with 40-foot contour intervals that we also showed the slopes were less than 15% to the north. And then in the 2007 soil survey, that the area to the north was remapped as Jorge soil, which is a deeper soil, but they mapped it as a lower percent slope from 0 to 15% slope, indicating that area is also was maybe mapped a little higher slope than it should have been originally. But the soil doesn't match the Jorge or the Umpa soils because it doesn't have volcanic bedrock anywhere in the profile. And it's alluvial. So it's more likely the Inville soils, which are also higher class capability. So I'm sure you might have some questions, but that's the summary.
Thank you, Marshall. And Georgina, when you get a moment, can you bring up the slope analysis that Marshall was describing? Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt. I don't want to interrupt a cough.
Oops.
Sorry, everybody.
Do some water.
Yes, please.
There's water in there. Marshall, we've got, I don't know if you can see our screen, we have attachment D from the staff report up, the historic slope analysis.
Yes, I can see it.
You see that? And did you prepare this?
I did prepare this. Phil Gill and Farr also prepared one that was similar.
Yes, I did see another exhibit that's in our staff report that is looks like it's got some historic contours on it and also has some built features included in it, too, that might represent something new on the site or proposed. Okay, now we've got that graphic up. Tell us a little bit about how you created this slope analysis, please.
Yeah, so this is from the existing topo, the gray lines. And then I was trying to, for each contour line, I brought the red line across to the equivalent elevation onto the right side, which is the east, I suppose. And then I also was looking at the historic slopes on Google Earth and the, like, kind of there's a hint in ArcGIS of where the natural slopes would be angling for, like, the lower left side, because it definitely slopes off very gently to the west side of this parcel. Then
and of course, we've got the road cut that.
Yeah. All right. So there.
Yeah. Comes through.
Right. So the road cut is over steepened and tried to average that, you know, section out a little bit.
Okay, and this may be a question for Julie. This is a standard measure or method that we use in sites that are quite developed, so to speak, or look a lot different today than they did originally. Is that fair to say?
Yes, we've used this method on several previous projects. I mean, we don't have anything specifically defined in our code or anything, but this has been, you know, the method that we've used in the past.
Okay. All right, thank you. Marshall, do we have anyone? I don't have any more questions. I do have one more question for the staff. As you noted, I think we noted near the top of the presentation that this, on our maps today, it's shown as 1C and the map unit is PX for Pitts. Is that an official TRPA land capability map unit?
I believe so. Marshall, can you confirm that?
Yes, it is. It's 1C is the typical pit.
No, the 1C exists. I was curious about the PX designation. That would essentially be the equivalent of the soil types that we see on, say, either all sides of the. Okay, good. All right. Good. Thank you. I don't have any other questions at this point for staff. Do we have anyone on the line representing the project or the project applicant? Okay.
It looks like Bill would like to speak, and Bill, you should be able to speak now.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Andrew. Nice to see you again. I didn't really have any other comments. When the difference between the historic contour line that I did and what probably is more accurate with what Marshall did was that we extended ours across the highway because although the highway was built a number of years prior to this cut site, that's why our slopes in the front are a little bit different. But we concur with her topographical depiction of historic, and I believe that has also gone through the staff review with respect to how we calculate height and the site as a project whole.
And Phil, can you please identify yourself for our record?
Yep, and it's Phil Gillenfar, architect and also the project agent for the applicant or for the owner of the property.
Thank you, Phil. We appreciate that. And do I understand it right, Phil, in looking and discussing with the staff that you already have a number or level of project approvals for this site in terms of a redeveloped program? Is that right?
We have a tentative application that is pending the soil land capability challenge. So we have conditional approval pending the land capability challenge, yes.
Okay, very good.
Yep.
At this point, I don't have any other comments for the staff or questions for them or for the applicant. Georgina, will you please, we'll open the public hearing, and Georgina, will you please look for a show of hands for anyone who would like to give a public comment on this item?
Members of the public who would like to address the hearings officer on this item may do so by utilizing the hand raising feature in the Zoom app located on the bottom of your Zoom screen, or by dialing *9 if you're on your phone. If you'd like to comment, please raise your hand now and I will announce and unmute you, and you'll have 3 minutes. Just giving it a second, and looks like we don't have any public comment for this item.
Thank you, Georgina. Seeing as we have no public comment to be offered on this item, I will close the public hearing and take action on the project. Based on the information that is included in our staff report, including the technical study prepared by our soils consultant, and based on the conclusions and the rationale on which they are based, including the staff's conclusion and determination, I will approve the Oak Angle LLC Land Capability Challenge as it has been presented. Let's move on to item 5B, Commercial Athletic Club project located at 1100 Tahoe Boulevard, also in Washoe County, Nevada, in Pine Village. The assessor's parcel number is 130-302-26, and the TRPA file number is ERSP2021-1855. I'm happy to ask our project planner who's covering this item today, Wendy Jepson. Wendy, can you please give us an introduction and summary of the proposed action?
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Hearings Officer. It's Wendy Jepson, TRPA, sitting in for the planner who actually did the review, Ali Borowski. But I would like to let you know that it is a project where it includes the construction of a new 4,725 square foot private athletic club that will be primarily used for gymnastics, including a training area, storage, and offices. The facility will be private and include no area for spectators. Only private guests or those paying a fee will have access to the facility. The proposed structure will be constructed on an existing paved parking area associated with Ponderosa Ranch and will reduce coverage and includes landscaping. This project is also part of a project area, including in several parcels, which are all in conformance with coverage. And this particular project was reviewed on just this particular parcel, for which is part of the larger project area. There are no changes to the staff summary or the report, and staff summary or the draft permit, excuse me. And we have, I think, one or two people from the applicant's side to answer any questions as well. So that's what I have. And I think you see the project on the screen now.
Very good. Thank you. Sure. Site plan, which I think might be perhaps the next sheet. Yes, that one. Yeah, it was that one. Yes. And can you give us a little assist centering it so we can see the full site? I don't think I'll be able to read all the small type up in the corner. Okay, good.
Is that big enough?
Yes, that's fine. Thank you, Georgina. That will work. Yes. And we have someone representing the applicant here today. Do you want to identify yourself for our record and any
Gary
comments?
Gary Midgiv for the record.
Gary, any comments?
We don't have any issues with the staff report and the draft permit. So unless there are other issues. No. Well, yeah. As Wendy says, the gymnastics group is a small group. About 15 high school ages that are at for most of part and set the school, the private school, that are interested in training for gymnastics. And we had a VMT study done by LSC, and they determined that it's a relatively small amount of trips, like 34 a day average. And the BMT fee will be paid. Unless there are other questions, I don't think I need to take up your time.
Oh, no, you're not taking up my time. Thank you, Gary. And Georgina, can we back up now, one, to the existing conditions on the site plan screen? Thank you. That's roughly the site today?
Yes.
Down near, it looks like it's down near the driveway entrance that's on the south side of what I used to know as the Ponderosa.
It's at the south end of the large Ponderosa parking lot. Yeah. At Channel Creek, the entrance to Ponderosa Ranch Road, which is going around the top of the, on the right side of the site, and across from the entrance is the Channel Creek Cafe.
Okay. Yes, yeah, so Channel Creek Road somehow turns into Ponderosa Ranch Drive or accessway. And just so,
just off the picture, you can see it turns, if you come in from 28, turns right and goes above the Tunnel Creek Cafe.
Right, I can picture that, sure. So, the site today is, it looks like, is it fair to say, Gary, that the site today is nearly 100% covered?
Very
close.
Highly covered. Yes.
And as I remember, the parking lot that has been there for a long time, it's an existing.
Yes. And across the street, or across the left side, that's a BMP that goes all the way up the side of the parking lot to treat and infiltrate all the runoff from a large parking lot.
I think that is noted in our staff report about the status of BMPs, and perhaps even a BMP certificate has been issued. And can you tell us how the program works for, you said, a certain number of students and their attendees of the Lake Tahoe School, which is up the street a little ways, not far on the other side of the intersection.
All the girls are presently students there, and they will, after class during the week, they will be shuttled from the school to the site and afterwards back to the school. There will be no access to the public or even family members. It will just be the girls and to a instructor and an assistant instructor. They're going to have 2 days a week during the, pretty much the whole year, but not over Christmas or so forth breaks. And it's going to be an interesting experiment. And in addition to the older girls, they're going to have a few younger girls that will have 2 days a week, one day after school and one on the weekend.
What happens to the facility when they all graduate?
Well, I think they have expectation they'll continue as those older girls move on, younger girls will take their place.
Take their place.
I noted in our staff report, it says in the project description in the middle of it, it says the facility will be private, as you've discussed, and include no area for spectators. And only private guests or those paying a fee will have access to the facility. Can you clarify what those paying a fee actually is intended to?
As I understand it, that will be the kids in participating in the program. Possibly, Georgina, do you see Janie Don? Is she logged in? Jenny, do you want to add to that?
Jenny. Hi there. Can you guys hear me? Hello.
Andrew asked a question about the mention in the staff report about those paying a fee would be able to be in the facility during the classes.
Yeah, so it's the girls that are in the program.
That's what I thought.
Okay, we were paying for the training, so to speak.
Yes.
All right. There's quite an extensive discussion of the coverage that jumps back and forth between the parcel and the project. And I understand that this parcel, I believe, if I understand it correctly, is part of a larger project area.
Much larger. It includes the parking lot, the headquarters building above the parking lot on the north west end, and the old Western town from the Bonanza era theme park.
The set?
Yeah.
Yes, I visited it back when they were serving Hossburgers.
Yeah.
That was once part of the Incline Village Industrial Community Plan area as the
right,
other site.
Although it was also mapped for a zone for amusement park. I guess that was what it was.
I think that's right. So my question on coverage has to do, it looks like there is plenty of existing land coverage to meet the project objectives
right
on this parcel. And as I mentioned, the discussion bounces back and forth between the parcel itself and the larger project area of what you've just described, Gary. Are we relocating any land coverage as part of this project?
They will be removing and banking some coverage, several thousand square feet, to comply with the provision for either a 5% reduction in being a coverage, or there's a percent, I can't remember what it was. No, 70% or 7% coverage on this parcel or 5% reduction. That's part of the community plan provision.
Now, Georgina, can you please jump us back to the proposed site plan? I have a good image of the existing condition there that represents today that Gary's described. Let's look at the proposed. I'm curious. I think it's the next sheet.
Yeah.
And you've had it up already before. I apologize. So, Gary, talk to us a little bit about where the coverage would be removed.
You can see the hatched area around the east side of the building and rear of the building mainly.
Those landscape areas?
Yes.
Or will be?
Yeah.
Landscape areas? I think I can make those
out. There's some at the front of the building and a little at the left front corner.
Okay.
And all around the east side and some on the far north area of the
I see the landscaped areas for the call outs that are shown there, and right. in several of the instances involve landscaping around the existing trees
right.
that are there. Yeah. And then on the, say, the uphill side, that northeast corner, northwest corner, the north side that you've just described, there's an outline and a call out for snow storage.
Right.
What is that area proposed to be? Is that where coverage would also be removed? What's that symbol showing us? I'm picturing yeah. drive aisles and right. parking spaces that read like a coverage surface to me.
Right.
What's going on at the upper? Maybe we can see it there.
Can we?
You and I have better eyes.
Well, can we pull out to see the legend for the sheet? I can't remember what that. Well, no legend.
Is that where coverage is also being removed, or is that? Sure, that might help.
It looks like it must be, but. I can't remember.
Wendy, do you know?
I'm looking at it just as you guys are too. I think it's a, is it a snow storage area? I can't really tell.
Certainly there is an area, yes, in the, say, the northeast quadrant of that parcel that is designated for snow storage, which is good. And I thought we normally required on projects like this. I'm trying to learn what is the surface
right.
proposed to be that is, it's kind of almost like a dot pattern that's underneath
yeah.
the snow storage area, for example. What is that? I'm trying to figure out if we are removing land coverage from that area or not. I know there's a hill slope bank that
right.
happens as the road makes its curve and heads to the north and east towards the other improvements that Gary's described. What's going on site plan wise on that? Do you see that dashed area that's outside, say, the driving aisle?
It's not labeled as coverage removal, but I know this area is here, here, and here are.
Okay. There's a call out over there, Gary, on the left side. Edge of asphalt, edge of asphalt.
Yeah, edge of asphalt, proposed location of.
To connect gutters.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's to the BMPs that are already on the site that you mentioned.
Well, there are going to be some around the perimeter of the building. So
that's the drip lines.
Right.
I'm going to recommend that we identify what that surface is on the site plan as part of any final approval, just so everyone knows and what the expectation is.
Sure. Yeah.
Because I see that the parking and the driving is very clear on this site plan, but I can't tell unless someone else on your team who's with us today can help clarify that.
I can't tell. Jenny, you want to comment on that?
I want to say it's the existing asphalt that's out there currently.
Okay. And all that area is still going to be asphalt, will drain to the either around the building or most likely to the BOP system because all the parking lot is treated.
I presume that would be a condition of in the permit if it's not already in your proposal. See if the conditions.
Well, the existing BMPs across the front along the highway are, they've been there 20 plus years.
Yeah, I can picture those, sure.
And they would capture all the runoff from the existing parking lot, which is 12 acres or something like that.
Okay. And I saw, this is now my last questions have to do with the trip analysis and the BMT calculations and the parking. It sounds like the idea is that maybe after school or on weekends, congregate at the school and then carpool over
right
to the facility for practice and then back the other way when it's over. Right. Is that right?
Right.
Okay. It struck me that go ahead.
So Andrew, I'm looking at the site plans. I was pulled them up on my computer. That comment there says new striping on existing pavement. So I think Janie's correct that that's just existing pavement there. And that looks like they have a few overflow parking spots in that little like bubbled area there on the top.
Yes, I do see some parking identified up at, you know, what you might call the northwest corner of the site. Given the operational considerations that have been included in the proposal and in our trip generation analysis, it's hard for me to believe, even though I know the site's 100% covered or pretty close to it, it's hard for me to believe that you need 20 parking spaces.
We already reduced a number, and we probably don't need over 12 to 15 for events, but the traffic study considered the fact that if they had a meet or something with other clubs, they might need a little more parking, but that's what they said we needed.
And I saw a reference in the staff report carried back to the Washoe County Code. And that makes sense. I know that we defer on parking standards to the different underlying jurisdictions who spell that out in, as you know, great detail, things that are well outside of the TRPA's bounds or you know, concerns, unless a traffic study and parking study are conducted. Yeah, it struck me that given the relatively small number of trips that were proposed to be generated, that seems like there's about two or three times as much parking, but the site's 100% covered today. And if in fact we're all correct that dotted pattern is going to stay as asphalt, then I suppose it's somewhat a moot point. That brings me to my last question is, for a facility of this size, and I think it was about 4,000 and 4,700 square feet.
Right.
That's a very low VMT number. I had to double take and think that maybe I didn't have my glasses on when I read it first. 34 VMT, that essentially, you know, an individual single family residence produces somewhere around 24 VMT a day. With 10 trips at about 2.5 miles per trip length is what my recollection is from our model.
To
see a facility like this generating 34 VMT, you must have helped participate in constructing VMT.
The girls will be shuttled in a van back and forth. So they're not going to be dropped off or picked up at the site by parents. Even on the weekend, they're going to be assembling at the school and then shuttled to the site. So that's why.
That is an unusual situation and not really a standard way that you look at serving a facility like this. So it's unusual in a number of ways. I guess is what I'm trying to say.
It's a private, small club, essentially. They happen to have a wealthy benefactor that's paying for this facility.
Helping to get the students into coaching and into a facility. Yeah, that's what it looked like to me, too. And there was a certain amount of the 4,700 and change square foot of commercial floor area that is recognized on site as existing, and then the balance to be transferred in.
Right.
Do you know where that's coming? That permit has been issued for the transfer. And is it coming from a community plan allocation? Is it?
No, it's coming from a site that where a previous office building was located, and it was demoed and in a coverage and CFA banked, and it was transferred here.
It would be transferred as part of the project.
Yeah.
Okay.
The permit for the transfer is already acknowledged.
Okay. Good. Now, thank you. That's some I appreciate the responses from the applicant team. I don't have any further questions for the staff. Wendy, do you have anything else you'd like to add?
No, no more comments. Thank you for your time.
Okay. And at this point, and did you say, Wendy, did you tell us if we had received any public comment prior to the meeting?
Right. There's no public comment. We have not received any emails or letters or anything.
I remember Allie mentioning something that either she took a phone call or received a phone message.
Yeah, it was a phone call she had with a lady who said she was going to send a comment in, but she did not. So as of today, right now, we haven't received anything.
Okay. I'll then open the public hearing on this item and ask Georgina to look for a show of hands for anyone who's participating who would like to provide comment. Georgina?
Members of the public who would like to address the hearings officer on this item may do so at this time by utilizing the hand raising feature at the bottom of your Zoom screen or by dialing *9 if you're on your phone. If you'd like to comment, please raise your hand now. I will announce then mute you and you'll have 3 minutes. And we'll start with Charlie White.
Yes, Mr. White, good afternoon.
Yes. Hi, this is Charlie White. I live at the address of 172 Tramway Road. So our yard looks directly at the parcel. I have no problem with the, I respect the owner and know that he'll do a great job and it'll look great. And I just would love to see some more, either on the plans or elsewhere, just a lighting scheme and what the lighting will mean and if there's a sense of if that's a 24-hour kind of parking lot light or if that will go off at a certain time, that would be really helpful. And otherwise, no real issue. Thank you.
I think we got all of your comment, Mr. White, regarding your interest in learning more about how the exterior lighting would be designed and operate on this site and for the building. And there is a condition in the draft permit that the plans, which you'd be entitled to see and have the staff explain to you or answer your questions on as public documents. There is a requirement for an exterior lighting plan that is compliant with the TRPA's exterior lighting standards.
Wonderful.
And I'll read it to you here in case you don't have it in front of you. It says, specifically, all exterior lighting shall be fully shielded and directed downward so as not to produce obtrusive glare onto the public right-of-way or adjoining properties. Illumination for aesthetic or dramatic purposes of any building or surrounding landscape utilizing exterior light features projected above the horizontal is prohibited.
Wonderful.
So I would encourage you, Mr. White, to be interested because we are sensitive here about exterior lighting. I'm sure the applicant would be also. You'd certainly be able to, I think, contact our staff planner, Ms. Borowski, when she returns and ask her to walk you through the exterior lighting plan, or perhaps the applicant would do that too as they prepare and submit it. I understand what you're saying, and the standards that are in the code, which go back many years and I think have been modernized, I think are after the same objectives that you are after as well.
Yeah. And with that, I have no issue with the project. I think it's going to be a great improvement to that parcel.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. White.
Thank you.
Georgina, who's next?
Just give it a second and look for any more hands. It looks like we do not have any further hands raised. Continue with the agenda.
Very good, thank you. Given that we have no additional public comment to be offered on this item, I will close the public hearing and take action on the project. Based on the information that is contained in our staff report, including the proposed findings and the rationale on which they are based, that includes Chapter 3, Chapter 4, Chapter 30, Chapter 33, and Chapter 37. And this also includes the conditions that are in the draft permit, and I will amend the condition or ask for clarity in the condition that the site plan identify what that surface is that's out at the perimeter of the site, that really it surrounds the parking area and drive aisles. Please make sure and identify those on the staff as part of your submittal to the staff of the final plans. I will approve the commercial athletic club project that's located at 1100 Tahoe Boulevard in Incline Village as it's been proposed. That concludes today's agenda, so we'll move on to item 6, adjournment. I want to thank everyone today for participating with us in the meeting, those of you here in person, as well as those who are attending virtually, and we'll stand adjourned.
I have a question.